Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Knitting and Thriving with Rusty.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon to all my blessed beloveds out there in Radio Land. You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty, and guess what? I'm Rusty. And today is Humpity Hump Day. It's my first favorite day of the week. And it's beautiful. I woke up with this incredible anxiety early this morning in regards to my daughter starting her first day at her new school. As you all know, we've been in this limbo state for the last couple of years trying to relocate south, where I have friends and family and support. And we ended up having to spontaneously pick a town and a space, and we're going to be here for a little while until the Supreme Court lets us know if they're going to take our case. But the interesting piece is the school is very small. It's very New England, quintessential, what's the word I'm looking for? It's like something you read out of a book, you know, very, very small school. So I think she's going to do really well there this year. It's very intimate and small, so that's good. Very cute pictures today. I also wanted to remind you all that I was cordially invited to speak at Laurel May's Cottage in Rochester, New Hampshire, on Main Street, September 24th, 7 p.m. So if you happen to be in the area and you want to pop by and learn a little bit more about me personally, one-on-one, that would be great. We're booking up pretty fast. The seats are limited. We might end up having to do 2 days. But so far, so good. And definitely check out Laurel May's Cottage on Main Street in Rochester, New Hampshire. Today, I have a special guest on. I'm really excited to learn more about her. She is the Chief Empowerment Officer. Yeah, she's the boss of empowerment and inspiration and motivation. Her name is Debbie Pokernick, and I know I botched that, and hopefully she'll forgive me, but she's a social worker, and she's an enlightenment guide, and today's National Dog Day, so since she's a dedicated dog owner, this is like the specialist, coolest day for her to even be on the show. She's also a mother, and she's a health freak like me, so we're going to talk about re-energizing and falling back in love with our lives, and, you know, being really cool parents, because yeah, that's what it's all about. It's being good leaders. And whether you're a doggy parent or a kid parent, human two-legged parent, you know, it's all about being real and authentic and really owning your leadership role as a person on this planet. So I'm looking forward to pulling her on in about 2 seconds. Right now, what we're going to do is we're going to go and take care of our sponsors, because you know what? Sponsors are cool. And if you want to sponsor our show, either this show or my Ask a PI show that starts 2:30 this afternoon here on Blog Talk Radio at blogtalkradio.com/AskAPI. We're talking about home security and brighter and bigger news. It'll be our 6th Ask a PI radio show, and there is a local FM station that is considering scooping us up, which is really, really super exciting. So don't forget to check that show out. And let's go to our sponsors.
Living and Thriving with Rusty is proudly sponsored by Lady Hawk & Associates, a full private investigation firm. Contact Lady Hawk & Associates today, 941-275-1920. Remember, Lady Hawk & Associates can help you uncover, recover, or discover. Call 941-275-1920.
ASEA is the first and only source of balanced, stabilized redox signaling molecules outside the body. What does that mean? Enhanced immune function, protection against free radical damage, boosts efficiency of the body's own antioxidants by up to 500%, and provides superior support to athletes, for starters. To learn more about this amazing one-of-a-kind product and how it can enrich your life, go to ASEA-rocks.com. That's ASEA-rocks.com. Or call Teresa at 206-454-9226. Again, that's 206-454-9226.
And we're back. We're back for the attack of living and thriving and being groovy and fabulous, and I think the word of the day is delicious. I just feel delicious today. Don't look into it too deeply. Just understand that it's a beautiful feeling. Miss Debbie, are you out there?
I am here, Rusty.
What's your word for the day?
Oh, my gosh. I think I would go with free.
Free.
Free would
All right.
be my word.
Groovy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Free and delicious. That's groovy. So Debbie,
I like delicious
in...
better.
Well, it's just it's one of those days where, you know, you wake up in this great mood. I had the weirdest dreams, but that was totally mommy anxiety, new school, daughter nervousness, you know, that type of thing. And I woke up wanting to wear my comfy sweater and read a book and just be snuggly and delicious, like an ice cream sundae in a bowl, you know? You know what I mean?
Oh, nice. You know what, can I take a second and tell you why I feel free? Is I was listening to your intro, and you were saying how, you know, you've got this anxiety with school starting and everything else, and this is the first time in, I guess 15 years, that I don't have anything to do with the school system, that my kids aren't heading there. And it's been so strange. I mean, I don't have to go shopping for things and think about, you know, what do they need for this, and has the bus phoned yet, and has this all been put in place? So I feel very free. Like I have totally have my own life back. Very strange.
You don't miss it? Do you think it's bittersweet, or are you really, really good with it?
Well, I think I'll miss it as it goes along. I love transitions. I'm kind of strange that way. So I really enjoy transitions in life. So I certainly don't miss it yet. I get these little pangs, you know, especially when I look at pictures of my kids in kindergarten and, you know, things like that. I have those nostalgia moments. But for the most part, no, I'm happy as they move along on to the next phase.
Yeah, and I think as bittersweet as it is to be a parent, I think it's fun to observe them become who they're meant to be.
Yeah.
It's a very neat, gradual process. And I don't even think it's gradual, because some days I look at her and I'm like, weren't you two? Now you're nine.
But no, it happens very fast.
Yeah. So back to you. Who are you and what do you do?
Well, as you mentioned, my name is Debbie Pokornik, and you did okay there. It's a tough one. And I run a company called Empowering Energy, and really my focus is on helping people, women especially, to tune in to their own inner wisdom, to reawaken those pieces that so many of us have forgotten. We've gotten caught up, and I don't mean us necessarily. It goes way back. But, I mean, gotten caught up trying to compete with others, to feel like we need to be as good as everybody else at everything else, that we need to do everything right, that we need to know everything, that we can't make mistakes, all of those pieces. And they really do become quite a heavy weight on our shoulders. And I learned quite a long time ago now that we don't do our best work when we feel like we're under the gun like that. And yet if you take a group of us, a group of women, and you let us tune in to our own strengths, to our inner wisdom, to our natural way of being, gosh, there's no stopping us. Like, we are just incredible what we can come up with and what we can do. And it's the same people in both groups. It's just the difference of how we support them.
Right, exactly. So what did you want to be as a child?
You know, I was never really clear on that. When I was young, I was always thinking, okay, what do I want to be? I'm supposed to know what I want to be. Because there I was, right, comparing myself, thinking about the questions I was being asked, and thinking that I needed to know. And I never really knew. I felt like, okay, I want to be a vet, and then I understood that vets, you know, have to put animals down, and I thought, well, I can't do that. And as I got a little bit older and I started to have health issues, I got very much went through the traditional medical and went into the natural healing. And as I got more and more into that, I thought, wow, I really like this. I think I'd like to be a doctor, but a naturopath type of a doctor, or, you know, something in the more natural healing areas. And then I looked into it and I thought, 10 years of university? No way. I'm not doing that. And I, you know, I had all these things, like I just didn't have clarity on who or what I wanted to be. And as I went through life, I kind of opened myself up to, all right, show me who I'm supposed to be. And really, I went into social work by accident. I had no plan to go there. I didn't even know what a social worker was when I walked through the doors and I started looking at the courses they offered, and I thought, wow, this is me. This is who I am. This is who I've always been. And then as I got in deeper and deeper into social work, I started to realize that, you know, I love the concept. I love what social work does. I love what they're all about. I'm good at, but I don't enjoy the intervention piece. And there are people out there that are very good at it, and they should do that part. But for me, I'm more about prevention. So I really, you know, had to take a look around and say, okay, in the social work field, there's a lot of jobs for intervention. There's not a lot for prevention. And so I was gently guided through to that too. So the easy answer to your question is I never really knew what I wanted to be, and I still don't. If you had asked me when I was young if I would be a speaker, an author, I would have said, no way. I don't like talking to crowds. I don't want to stand up and have a microphone put in my face. And I don't even really like writing back then, you know. So I never would have guessed that I would be where I'm at today. But by being open to it, here I am.
Well, and what's fun about that, you know, just going through my own journey, my own process, is I don't think we really realize that that's our destiny, because I think in a lot of ways I became extroverted, but I was introverted in a lot of ways. I never thought I was going to be a public speaker, and I tried in high school and college to do theater and so forth, and I failed miserably because I would always choke up. Now that's all I do is in a public figure. So it's interesting how we evolve once we get comfortable and we get good with who we are. It's almost like we shed that false identity, that false identity that causes us anxiety, which we create ourselves, don't you think?
Oh, for sure, for sure. And then when we take that knowledge, like the fact that, you know, I am an introvert, that's part of who I am, but I've learned how to be more extroverted. I've learned that it's safe to go out there and do these things, that I am able to do it, to deliver a good presentation, those kinds of things. Then you're able to say, okay, so what do I need as an introvert to help me so that I can still be strong and not let that anxiety eat away, you know, my stomach lining, because it wants to some days, right? And so it's that recognition that, okay, I am an introvert, but that's okay. I can still go out there and do this kind of stuff. So, yeah, it's such a wonderful adventure.
Talk to me a little bit about some of the guidance you would give to somebody out there who's listening, because I have over 300,000 people that listen on the show, which is really humbling, and every time I say it, it brings tears to my eyes, because I just can't believe people are that interested, but it's
pretty
cool.
Awesome.
It's pretty awesome. But they're all over the world, and they have, you know, you got, say, even if you have 30 people in one room, that is a huge amount of personality, a huge amount of issues and things, and, you know, everybody's different. Give us, say, your top three things to do that you would recommend for us to do in order to start empowering ourselves and shaking off kind of that fear-based thinking?
Oh, that's a beautiful question. And I guess the first thing that I would say, and this is huge, okay, so I don't want people to think, all right, I'll do that and then, you know, check that off, is to become self-aware, to get to know who you are, why you do the things you do. You know, if you are, say, for example, an introvert versus an extrovert, then you're going to know that you're going to need time to warm up to a crowd. You're going to need some lead-in sentences to start conversations. It's not going to be easy for you to just sit down at a table and say, hey, how's everybody doing? You know, that's right, not going to come right. naturally. So that self-awareness, and I mean, self-awareness is such a huge topic, everything from your what your body is telling you to, you know, what kinds of signals tell you how you're feeling. You know, it's just huge. So I put it out there as one thing, but it's a thing that can take you a lifetime, right? And it is where everything starts. So that would be first piece, becoming aware of what you need. And tied in with that would be giving yourself permission to do what you need to do. So if that means that you need to disappear for a little while, go for a walk outside to reconnect with nature because the crowd of people is just too much for you or what's going on is just too much stress, then give yourself permission to do that. Because there's no reason that you have to fit into a mold that someone else has created to say, here's how you have to go in there and succeed. So, you know, knowing that, and one of the things that I have done for years, when I go to a big networking event, which, of course, is quite anxiety-producing for me, I create a game. I create like a bingo card. And I think, okay, I want to find two people that could potentially hire me to speak at something. I want to find three people that would love to hear about my book, Standing in Your Power, and, you know, just have a conversation with them. It's not about selling to them, but for those parts of my bingo card, it's just three people that are interested. And so I'll create a bingo sheet, and then that gives me purpose. It gives me something to kind of focus on rather than just feeling like I've been put into this room with all these people that are coming up and wanting to exchange business cards and, you know, so what do you do? And wanting to have this rote conversation, you know, that elevator pitch sort of thing. So,
right.
Pardon me?
It's a great way to break the ice within yourself. I think you first have to break the ice for yourself.
Yes,
before you
yes.
can even have an articulate conversation, because then all of those fear-based thoughts of, oh, my God, I just stumbled on my words, or, you know,
yes.
my
well,
tongue swelled up. I'm not
exactly. I have been there where the words that are coming
yes.
out of your mouth, you're going, why am I saying this? This is not
right.
what I want to say. And then that brings me to one of my to one of my third tricks, which is to I had to learn this first, but to separate my ego from my higher self and to realize that, I mean, my ego is what makes me human, and I love that part of myself. I'm not telling anybody to get rid of it or shut it up or anything, but I picture my ego like a little puppy by my side. It's easily distracted. It gets afraid a lot. It'll run and hide and pee on someone's foot if it's really upset. You know? And so I can't have that ego running the show. Because that ego is the one that will have me quivering in the bathroom, right? So I had to learn that my higher self is actually separate from my ego. And when I get up there and I'm doing something, and I'm talking about it as if everyone's a speaker, and of course they're not. But imagine even that you've gone to a meeting and you've been asked to say something. And, you know, when I get up there and I start talking, that's where my higher self comes in, and I can feel the difference. It's that knowledge that I can handle this. I have good information to share. I'm prepared, you know, whatever the case might be, and I just relax into my higher self. So once you get to know your higher self, you can actually ask your higher self to be in charge and tell your ego to sit. And it's a puppy, so you might have to remind it to sit a few times. Anytime you start to feel resentful or angry or like you're blaming someone or you want to shirk responsibility, that's your ego coming into play. So I just remind it to sit and to really hear what's going on. And it helps me probably more than most of my other tools because, in part, I'm an introvert and I care that what I say, what comes out of my mouth, is what I really mean. So I use that one a lot.
That's a great one, actually. Very nice. Fair enough. What do you think was the time period in your life where you had that great cosmic 2x4 that just whacked you and said, this is your path. This is what you're going to do. What was that inspirational moment for you?
You know, I don't have one. I have a few. Like, when I look back on my life, I can now clearly go, wow, that's why I was with that guy. You know? I never understood then why I stayed with him. But,
right,
you know,
right.
there was so much learning that went on. And so it's hard to pick out one. But the one that I've I've sort of chosen to put out there as a turning point, and I actually put it in my book, Standing in Your Power, is about my first real career job. I got on with a bank, and my dad pulled some strings to get me in there. I was hired as a stenographer, which was very funny because I'm sure on my typing test I did like, you know, 12 words a minute. I was so nervous. And I kept thinking, why do they want me to type? All I have to do is count money. Why do they want me to type? But anyway, as it turns out, they were hiring me as a stenographer, which is a fancy name for secretary. And I went in, I had my training, and before my training was finished, a spot opened up in a branch. So I reported to that branch, and I was terrified because I felt like I didn't finish my training. You know, you guys can't do this to me. Well, the woman that I was replacing was leaving the bank for good, which is code for I really don't care what kind of a mess I leave this place in. And so she did. She left me with this all this filing, and I didn't understand her filing system. It wasn't the same as where I had been trained. And the typing back then, we had to do three copies because it was on a typewriter that actually hit the paper, right?
Right,
and
right,
we had
right.
to use, yeah, we had to use whiteout if we made mistakes on the carbon copies. And there's some people I'm sure that are sitting there going, what is she talking about? But anyway, back in the day, typing was a little more difficult than it is now. And so I struggled. I struggled with the typing. I found that customers were getting in my way when they wanted into their safety deposit box because, you know, I had all this stuff I needed to do. And so I found it really hard. And when my probation came up after 3 months, my boss, who was only, like, I was 18, okay? She was, like, 22. And so to me, she knew everything. But,
right.
you know, now in hindsight, she was just fresh out of university herself. And she told me she wanted to fire me, that I was not measuring up. I wasn't even close to measuring up, that I was an embarrassment to the branch. And
wow,
that she
mean.
Wasn't allowed, yeah. I mean, she really let me have it. And in hindsight, she had every right to. But
yeah.
at the time, there I am, sitting there thinking, my gosh, like my bosses have always loved me. I've worked for years. You know, I'm good at everything I try. Like, I couldn't believe it. I just wanted the earth to open up and swallow me whole. So she didn't fire me. She told me that she had to give me extended probation, probably because of the strings my dad had pulled. She said they must be good strings. I'm thinking, oh, no, now I'm embarrassing
no
my dad. So I went home in tears. My dad, I still lived at home, and my dad picked me up, and I just told him through tears, you know, doing that whole sort of thing
yeah.
that they wanted to fire me, and, you know. And he told me that, you know what, Debbie, she just really has never seen you shine. Like, she doesn't know who you are yet because I know that you're a good worker. I know you can go in there and do that. So you've been given a second chance. You have to go in there and do it. And I so wanted to argue with him and say, no, you know what, she's right. I'm not good at this job. I cannot do it. I'm quitting. I'm leaving. You know, I'm like moving to a commune or something.
As Mars available.
And, yeah, exactly, wherever I can hide. And
right.
But I didn't. Instead, I sat down and I thought about it. And somewhere in that, I suddenly realized that, you know what, and it wasn't a conscious realization, but it was more this sense that you can do anything. And so far, all you've been doing is blaming other people. You've been so caught up in that this isn't fair. You know, I haven't been trained well enough. I can't do it without the rest of the training. She left me this mess. Why should I clean up her mess? You know, all these feelings, and they weren't conscious feelings, but they were definitely there. And they were stopping me from really doing my best work. And I know that because I went back in and in 3 months completely changed things to the point where, unfortunately, my boss left because they transfer them pretty quickly. And so she left and a new boss came in. And when the new boss was doing my extended probation piece where she went over it with me, she said, I just don't even know who she was talking about, the person who did this before. She says, you're a star employee. You're absolutely the best employee I have. And so what I want people to understand is I'm not that incredible. It was the fact that I made that decision to fully accept my reality and go in there and say, what can I do to to fix this, to change it? How do I take full responsibility for what has happened here? And I created a new filing system, and I did everything and then went a little bit further. And the day I finished my probation, I actually started training the new stenographers for the branch, or for the bank, not just for the branch, yeah. So that was definitely a transitional point for me, but honestly, I didn't recognize it as one back then. It wasn't one of those moments where I went, okay, now I get it. This is what I'm supposed to do. It was just one of those real, really big eye-openers that made me look and go, wow, I have to do things differently here, and I'm fully capable of doing things differently if I could just believe in myself. So,
well, and I think in your particular circumstance, and believe it or not, we're almost out of time, but I think I just want to point out to the listeners that in your particular circumstance, your dad was very supportive.
He
didn't shun you. He didn't, you know, throw you at the door and say, get out of here. So I think innately you had a support system that a lot of people don't have, which is beautiful, and I'm glad that you were able to share that with us.
That is very true. And the one other piece that I would point out from that is sometimes, when you don't have that support system, you might think that you're not able to do it, but I still had to do the work. My dad couldn't
Absolutely.
Do it for me. He could believe in me all he wanted. But, yes, that is a really good point, that I had that support and that at that moment I felt loved instead of, all he would have had to do was flick one little comment my way, like, wow, am I disappointed? And I might have jumped out of the car, like I was just in that space where I already felt stepped on.
Right. And vulnerability. I talked about it in my blog last week in regards to, as I go through my transition through life and my changes and recreation of self, I realize that I am most beautiful and strongest when I'm vulnerable.
Yeah.
So it's really nice to hear you echo that in your own journey, because there are many times where we've skinned our knees so much that jumping out of the car would be probably the quickest pain to get through rather than actually healing through it. So
right.
It's very cool.
Absolutely.
So you have about a minute to shamelessly promote yourself. Tell us where we can find you, your book title again, where we can find the book.
Okay. Well, my book title is Standing in Your Power, A Guide for Living Your Life Fully Awake, but I think you just need to remember Standing in Your Power. And it is available through Amazon. Motivational Press has republished it, so make sure you get the Motivational Press copy if you're interested. And my website is Empowering Energy. Excuse me, and energy is three letters, NRG, stands for Natural Realistic Guidance. So empoweringenergy.com, or my name is on Rusty's site, so if you just type in my name, you'll find me. I show up quite good, quite well. That's probably not good English, but anyways, I show up well. So,
that's okay.
Yeah,
this is not a grammar show.
No, good thing. So I have other products available on my site as well. That I'd love to have you get my freebies, get on my list. I can send you some tips through my newsletter and such, and we can get to know each other that way as well.
Very cool. You have no pressure, but my ending show question is, what is the one message that you want everybody out there in radio land to take away from today's show? Because the show is permanent. It's in space forever and ever and ever. No pressure, by the way.
Okay. Well, without any pressure being put on me, I would love to remind everybody, and you might not even know this yet, but you are already absolutely perfect at being you. And so when we realize that, then we can know that anything we want to learn, any growing we want to do, that's like the icing. It's beyond what you need to do now. So really focus in and know that you are already perfect. You're already complete. You don't need to complete yourself. You're not broken. You don't need to be fixed. You just want to add to what you already know, because that's part of the journey. That's what life is all about. So go out there knowing with confidence that you are already good enough.
Well, I am so blessed that we got to spend a little time together and learn about each other. You are a terrific soul and person, and I'm just so grateful that you do the work that you do and you're able to share it with all of us here today at Living and Thriving. So thank you and bless you so much.
Thank you, Rusty. Right back at you with all that.
how terrific Debbie was as a guest. Make sure you go out, visit her website, sign up for her newsletter, get her freebies off her site, and check it out. It's just so much fun. What a great story. You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty, and I'm Rusty, and this is the end of Wednesday's show. It's sad, but I do have to go. I will be back on 30 Eastern Standard Time, talking with my mentor and friend David Deschenaux in regards to home security. Check us out. Until then, know that I love you. Know that you're beautiful. Know that I'm so thrilled to walk this path with you and learn from people all over the world their incredible stories and journey. Until Sunday night, you're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.